evening, everyone. Happy Wednesday. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I am speaking to Christy Woodson Harvey, who writes women's fiction, but it's so exceptionally exquisite that her books remind me of one of my most favorite people of all time, Pat Conroy. Interestingly enough, she won a Pat Conroy Southern Book Prize. I can't wait for you to meet her. Don't go away. We'll be right back. For being with me. I've missed you. I haven't talked to you for almost, gosh, it seems like it's been a week. It probably has been, actually. But I'm glad that you're here with me tonight. Christy Woodson Harvey is such an exceptional writer. But let me tell you a little bit about her background. She is a summa cum laude graduate from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill School of Journalism, and she holds a master's in English from Eastern Carolina University. We're going to talk a little bit more with Christy about that. She's got three exceptionally beautiful books out right now, and I can't wait for us to learn more about her. Please welcome Christy Woodson Harvey to the show. Christy, I'm so glad you're here. I'm honored. Thank you for joining me on Authors on the Air.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so flattered by all of your nice comments. I'm sort of like blushing by myself over here. You're so sweet.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, we were saying that, and I announced that Pat Conroy was just one of my all-time literary heroes. I think that once a year I pick up The Prince of Tides and I read it just because the story is so exceptionally written, but Lowcountry becomes part of the story. It's almost a character. And as a matter of fact, I just got, I actually won this in a contest, something I never do, but I got a book called The Lowcountry Heart, Reflections on a Writing Life by Pat Conroy.
Yes.
And it seemed so appropriate that it came the same time that your books did. So I think it was meant to be for us to talk. Will you tell me a little bit about what it is like to grow up in the Carolinas? Because I think it's key to your writing, isn't it?
Yeah, I really do think it is. I mean, for sure, having grown up in the South, you have a little bit of a different perspective, I think. And I actually had a really interesting sort of childhood because, I mean, I was very young, but the first few years of my life, we lived 2 weeks a month in Manhattan and 2 weeks a month in North Carolina, which was really interesting. And so growing up, you know, even until I was a teenager, I spent a lot of time in Manhattan, but was definitely, you know, a Southern girl. And so I think that was kind of a unique way to get to grow up. But I love being from the South. And I think we kind of have the best of both worlds in North Carolina because we have the beautiful beaches, but we also have the beautiful mountains. And then I actually grew up in the Piedmont of the state. And now I live on the coast. I'm very lucky to be able to do so and just am in love with that. And I feel like it inspires me every day and really inspires my writing.
You know, you have such a magnificent, your bona fides are just beautiful because University of North Carolina, which, by the way, my nephew goes there to the School of Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
It's gorgeous up there.
Yeah.
He has a full ride scholarship for 4 years there. So,
that
he's pretty
amazing.
Magnificent. But it's a beautiful campus. Chapel Hill is probably one of the most beautiful parts of not only the state but the country. And I know And I know East Carolina simply because their football team used to play against University of Miami, and so that's how I know who they were.
Okay, well, there you
but
go.
I don't know the campus. But you have a very interesting school life. Your education is so substantial that you have a concentration in multicultural and transnational literature. Can you please explain to listeners what that means?
I can. So I went to journalism school, of course, and absolutely loved it and really thought that I would be a journalist and write in that kind of way. And when I got out of school, I'd always planned on getting a master's in journalism, but I was actually getting married. My husband and I were getting married, and we were moving to Newburgh, North Carolina. And so I was sort of rethinking everything because I didn't really want to have to do the long-distance thing while we were married because I was planning on staying at Chapel Hill. And so I started looking at programs at ECU because it was close by, and they had this brand-new program in multicultural and transnational literature, and I thought, this sounds amazing. I really want to read and I really want to learn more about different cultures and, just some things that I hadn't really done in my undergraduate study. And I thought this just sounded like a magnificent program. And that way it's sort of how it sounds. I read a lot of sort of obscure authors, like a lot of authors that
sure.
people probably wouldn't just have heard of or known of. But to be able to explore those other cultures, I actually think was really paramount for me in becoming a writer because being from the South and living in the South, when you read Southern literature, it just feels like normal. And I think something
yeah.
about reading about all these other cultures made me more aware of how culturally rich where I lived was in a very different way from all of these other places. And so as strange as it seems, reading about all of these far-off lands really kind of opened my eyes to what was around me, too.
Have you had a chance to travel to some of the places where the books are originally written?
You mean my books or other books?
The other books that you read, these
the other books.
Books from other countries, yes.
Yes, well, absolutely. I have been very fortunate. My parents love to travel, and so took me to a lot of places, and I did some traveling after high school and some in college. And so I think being able to read a place and then to be able to read about a place and then be able to go and see it and really feel what it's like, I almost think it adds another layer. This is probably a really bad comparison, but I think it's a little bit like, reading the book and watching the movie, and you sort of get a little bit of a different perspective from each one, but in a much bigger and better way than that. But I think it adds something
to
your understanding of a place when you can read about it.
And to your experience. I mean, just the experience
oh, yeah.
of it alone. And you have a richer understanding of the book itself, don't you think?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the idea of walking in the footsteps of characters in books. And it seems to me that's what you've done. There is an imprint in Amazon for translated works, and I often read a lot of those books, and while I'm not a huge literary fiction reader because I read more genre fiction, simply because
mm-hmm.
I like so many different genres, I do
sure.
like to, pretend like I'm erudite and I'm not, but I like to at least read some of those books, and remember the experiences I've had while traveling. So I totally
sure.
understand where you're coming from. Now, interesting, you are not the first person who said, I went to journalism school and ended up writing books. Were you ever a journalist, though?
Well, yes and no. I mean, maybe not in the way that I thought I would be. My plan was to go to journalism school and then move to New York and write for a magazine. That's sort of what I thought would be happening in my life. But I ended up, getting married and living in North Carolina. And so I did a lot of freelance writing. I still do a lot of freelance writing, which is one of my great loves. I mean, I absolutely love to write a novel, but there's something so different about the experience of trying to convey emotion in, 700 or 800 words versus 85,000
sure.
words. So it's still
sure.
something that I really dabble in and that I really love to do. And so I think I've been writing a little bit all along. I mean, I had my first newspaper column when I was 17 in my local newspaper, and I don't really think I've ever not been writing for someone since then. But in terms of actually sitting in, you know, a newspaper office or a magazine office all day, every day, I have not had that experience, besides like in college and doing internships and that kind of thing. But post-college, I never actually worked in finance, of all the crazy things. But
wow.
I graduated in 2007, and then I finished my master's in 2008, and it was not a great time in the economy, and it was not a great time for newspapers, and I lived in this really small town, and there just weren't any jobs available in my field. And I thought about teaching, and I don't know, I think I've always just been somebody who I like new experiences, and I like to try new things, and somebody offered me this great job, and I thought, well, this is something that I never thought about doing, but it'll be good for me. And it was basically a sales job. And I really, when I look back on my life, I feel like that was really formative for me, because, you know, when you're out and you're calling on clients and you're doing all these things that are difficult, you're putting yourself out there in a really big way on a daily basis. And when you're a writer, you're doing that same thing. I mean, to even be able to sort of get the courage up to search for a literary agent, you know, you have to be a little bit thick-skinned and know that you're going to get told no and that it's not going to be an easy road. And so I think it was a good experience in the end.
Well, what I find interesting is that you and your mom have a blog called Design Chic,
right.
And
yes.
You are the inaugural member of Traditional Homes Design Blogger Hall of Fame, and how to create a beautiful home and a wonderful life, and connecting readers with your website. You also, and speaking of writing, boy, Southern Living, which was one of my most favorite magazines, not for the decorating but for the recipes, because there is something very unique about the Southern experience, but also Traditional Home, Parade, USA Today. You've written for Reader's Digest, Women's Health, The Washington Post, Dr. Oz, The Good Life, HuffPo, USA Today, and more. I can't even go through the list of how many places you're published. You said something very interesting, because writing 800 words is different from writing 80,000 words. So those little writing sprints are every bit as difficult as putting together a book, sometimes more difficult, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And I actually think for me, you know, when I'm writing a book, that's something that I'm working at every single day. And I find myself more and more when I'm writing these smaller things. Like, I just did a piece for Parade about my grandmother's pearls, and I love this piece so much. But it was really something that I was inspired to write. Like, it was something that really struck me, and it just kind of came to me, and in sort of this moment of creative inspiration. And I find that more and more when I'm writing these smaller pieces, it's because I have those moments of creative inspiration where, with the novels, you know, some days, of course, I sit down at the computer and I just feel like, you know, everything that's coming is just magical and wonderful. And then some days I'm like, whew, well, that was horrible, but, you know, at least I got through it. So, you know, I think it's just a different experience. But I always... It's funny, though, because I think the feeling is the same at the end. I always know that I'm done with a piece when I just have this feeling of that it's whole. Like, I have a feeling that it's complete and it's whole,
right.
And that I've said what I wanted to say on the page. And so I think I learned that feeling from writing these small pieces, but I know that I'm done with a book when I have that same feeling that I get when I'm done with that little column or whatever it may be. So... it's a similar experience in some ways, but very different.
Do you recommend that writers try their hand at writing for different places and different things? In other words, is it okay for beginning authors to submit pieces to literary magazines and to newspapers and to columns while they're working on their book? Do you find that it's a benefit?
Well, from just a purely practical standpoint, I mean, if you're setting out to be a novelist, the more publishing credits you have to your name, the better, even if they're small. But at the same time, you know, I think writing different things is very different. I am definitely, like, I am not a good short story writer. I'm just not. It's just, it's not, okay. It's not something I enjoy. It's not something that I do very much. But yet I love to write articles and columns. So I don't know why that is, but yeah, I definitely think if you can get published, you know, wherever that may be, it's always beneficial. But at the same time, I don't think anything needs to be forced either. I mean, for me, writing is all about
right.
passion and the love of doing it. And so you hate to, if you aren't feeling that passion, you know, people always say to me, oh, you should write a short story for this. And I just don't enjoy it. So I just am not going to do it anymore.
Well, there you go. And that makes sense. Yeah. Why would you throw good energy after bad? Because essentially that's
right.
what you're doing. I want
right.
to move on to your novels. Did you begin writing articles first, or did you begin writing a novel first, or were they simultaneous?
Definitely articles first, and I never thought that I would write a novel, which people are always shocked by, because they're like, well, you were a writer, you were in journalism school, how could you not have ever thought of that? But in my mind, they were just
journalism is so
yeah.
different than writing than writing fiction,
right?
I studied journalism and then ended up being a physical therapist. So, you know,
right. it's just a totally different thing. Yeah.
It
and
is.
It's just different. And so I was getting ready to turn 25, which seems kind of crazy now, but I wanted to just do something that felt big, like something that I was going to mark off my bucket list. And so I decided that I wanted to try to write a novel. And it wasn't something I didn't think to myself, I'm going to try to write a novel and get published, or I'm going to try to be an author. It was just something that I wanted to do for myself, just like one of those kind of, you know, quintessential life experiences that I wanted
yes,
to, like,
yes.
check off of my bucket
yes.
list.
Right.
And so I sat down and I started writing the first novel that I ever wrote, and I was just so captivated by the way that the words came to life and the way that the characters came to life on the page, and they really took over the story. And I just fell in love. And there's so many times now that I think, what if I had never done that? Like, what if I had never taken that chance? Because it was such a magical experience for me. And I certainly never did anything with that book, but it was really what got me started. And so I wrote a couple more manuscripts after that. And then when I wrote Dear Carolina, which was my first novel, I just felt like
yes.
something was different. And like I had sort of found my voice a little bit. And that was when I really started to go after this dream of kind of becoming an author.
There was a discernible shift, right? When you knew
right.
it was right, when you knew it was mm-hmm. down on paper and this was the one, there was a shift.
Exactly. There was a shift for sure.
One of the things that we talked about before the show was that the Carolinas play, and I want to leave this wide open because the South is, I live in Southwest Florida. I am not in the South. It is not until you get to North Central Florida that you actually hit the South. So that people
right.
understand geography has nothing to do with it. There
right.
is a discernible difference between being on the East Coast South, in other words, Georgia, but more South Carolina, North Carolina, than there is in being Alabama, Louisiana. It's a different kind of a Southern feel. Your books, to me, seem to capture life in Lowcountry, a Carolina vibe that you have to have been in the Carolinas to understand. And you have to have read literature coming out of the Carolinas. And as I mentioned, Pat Conroy. I think that your locations are almost a character, certainly are pivotal to what you're writing. Was that intentional?
Thank you. Well, thank you.
You're
that
welcome.
Is very flattering, especially because in slightly south of Simple in particular, you know, the new book, it was
the
first
the
time
one.
That I really did think about the town and the location as kind of a character. It was the first time that I really wanted to set out to kind of create this setting that that I hope and that I feel like people will remember after they read the book. You know, sometimes I think when you're left with a strong impression of a character or something like that, but I really wanted people to leave with a strong impression of this place. And it is a fictional town. This was the first time I had ever written a fictional town, and I think that gave me some freedom that I hadn't had before. It wasn't something that I had planned on doing. It was actually something that my editor suggested, that I, you know, do a fictional town. And it gave me some freedom to kind of just create this sort of quintessentially Southern town that I think was a blend of a lot of the places that I had really loved in my life.
Wow. So speaking of Slightly South, let's Slightly South is Simple is the name of the book. This is the third book. It is a standalone book. Christy is published by Gallery Books, whom I absolutely adore, and I love all the publishers there.
Me too.
Yay, Gallery. Are they not the best or what? But anyway, let's talk about this book. Will you tell listeners about Slightly South of Simple?
Yes.
This is book one, by the way, in the Peachtree Bluff
yep.
series. Okay,
that's
so
right.
Share a little bit about your
Bluff
book.
Series? Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the Peachtree Bluff series is about these three grand sisters that all, for very different reasons, end up coming back to this tiny hometown to live with their mother, Ansley, who is an interior designer, which was really fun for me to write about. And at the same time, all of
Chanel.
Her girls... yeah, exactly. That's right. At the same time, all of her girls are coming back. Ansley's first love, who is... this man from her past comes back to Peachtree Bluff as well, and he is carrying a lot of her big secrets. And so she's sort of thrust into this position where her simple little life, as she knows it, is about to get sort of turned upside down. And it was a fun book for me to write. You know, I love writing mother-daughter relationships, and I love writing sister relationships. And so these women are all very different, but they all have these sort of common bonds between them that really binds them and make them this strong family unit. And so when all of the girls come home, they're sort of all at a crossroads in their life, or a point where they really need their family and they need their sisters. And so I think not only do these girls end up being there for each other, but the town really ends up being there for them too. And so that was sort of a fun experience for me to get to write.
But that's also part of the Southern experience too.
I think
small towns, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
So
here's
what I love, that Erin Hildebrand, who is so widely read and such an amazing writer, claims that you are the next major voice in Southern fiction. You had to just be squeeing with glee when you had that quote, because she's an amazing writer.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
One of my favorites, and just such a nice person, and so nice to me from the first time that I had met her. The first time I ever met her was at the BEA, which is the big book expo in New York.
Right.
It was one of the first things that I did right after my first book came out.
Right.
And I met her, and she was just so nice to me, and she said, oh, I really want to read your book, and she was just really nice, and so I ended up sending her, something afterwards to see if she would be interested in looking at it, of course not expecting anything, and then get that beautiful endorsement from her was just sort of a shock and very, very exciting.
It's amazing. I look at your reviews on Amazon, and I have to tell you that for your debut novel was so well received. It was just fantastically received, Dear Carolina, and I love that. I love that. It was a best-selling novel. So congratulations on that. And
thank you.
Really like releasing in the spring, which I like too, because North Carolina comes alive in the spring, doesn't it? It really seems
it
to.
It sure does. It's a great time
just
to get to be on tour.
It really is. I want to take a second to let everybody know, if you want to call in and say hi to Christy, please do. The number is 347-633-9609. If you want to call in, the first caller is going to win a book from me. I'm sending you an e-book of Slightly South of Simple, because it's such an exceptional read. Yeah, it's really just a great book, and so I'd love to do that. Have you written or are you writing next year's book?
It is turned in, so that makes me feel good. It is actually called The Secret to Southern Charm, which I'm excited about. I like that title.
I do
too. When you read, you'll kind of see what that is. But I think it really sort of captures the feel of the second book in the series, and I'm very excited about it. And I believe it's coming out April 3rd, so yay.
How wonderful. Who does your cover art?
Someone at Gallery. You know, it's just they have this amazing team, and
they
did such a good job.
Oh, my God, are they amazing. The books are so perfect, and they're so well branded to your website. Please tell everyone where they can find you on the net, by the way, because your website is so exceptional. As we were talking before the show, I often think, oh, my God, I have to go to this website, and there's music, and then I can't turn it off, or if I go to another page, I got to turn it off again. And then it's like all this stuff going on, and there's motion, and I just want to find out about the books and the author. But your page is so exceptionally done. Will you tell everyone where to find you on the webs and all your social media sites?
Yes. Well, my author website is ChristyWoodsonHarvey.com, and then my interior design website is actually MyDesignChic.com, although if you Google me, they both come up. And then I love Instagram. It's one of my favorites. So I'm at Christy W. Harvey on Instagram and at Christy W. Harvey on Twitter. My Design Chic on Pinterest and Facebook, Christy Woodson Harvey.
Do you spend a lot of time on social media, Christy? Excuse me. Do you spend a lot? It's part of being an author nowadays, a published author, but it can be frustrating.
Overwhelming. Yeah, it can be for sure. And, you know, it's one of those things that before I was an author, I didn't do very much of. It's sort of... I don't know. It sort of feels overwhelming to me, but as an author, it has been the most amazing tool for me to get to really know my readers. And so I'm so grateful for social media for that, because not only does it help people and me to spread the word about my books and what I'm doing, but it also helps me to get to know my readers. And I'm so grateful because truly, I mean, I feel like in so many ways, you know, I've only been doing this for 2 years, and I feel like there have been so many people that have been there for me from the beginning, and it really is. We have all these new ways to communicate and all these new ways to get our stories out there. But in reality, people buy books because of word of mouth. And so I feel
it's
like
really
all these wonderful, these wonderful readers that recommend me to their friends are still where I'm selling books. And the wonderful independent bookstores that help me do that as well. You know, there have just been so many people that have been so supportive. And I'm so appreciative.
Well, I love
that.
All bookstores. I mean, I like bookstores. Yeah. I like libraries. I like garage sales that have books.
Me too.
You know, if there's
a
book, I'm there. And I really have no business saying that because I live a very blessed life. I get galleys all the time, and you know, I'm very, very fortunate. But so I love the fact that you appreciate social media. My feeling is that if I didn't do what I do and if I didn't love to read so much, I would never be on Facebook. I would never be any place because I'd be too busy reading. But, you know, obviously I have a radio show, and I want people to know about the wonderful writers. You guys are my celebrities. I say this all the time, and people laugh, and they think I'm a fangirl, and I really am because I can't write a book. I could write a book. It wouldn't be good, but I could write a book. I have no idea how to do that. So I think that, and I don't know, maybe you can confirm this. Do you think that there is something innate in people who write successful books? Do you think that there's a little something different with authors like yourself who do well versus people who say, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to self-publish and it may look and feel really great, but it doesn't sell? What do you think?
Well, I think there's sort of a combination of things. I mean, I think sometimes you know, there are great books out there that people aren't finding. And I think sometimes, you know, maybe there are books that aren't as good that everybody is finding. But I can tell you this. I bleed for these books. I mean, I love writing them, and I feel like it's such a gift to be able to do that, that I work so hard to make sure that these books are successful. And that's part of the reason that, you know, I do so much of the other writing that I do, and that I, you know, I'm on a 5-week book tour right now. Like, I take the marketing part and the getting out there and being able to really kind of try to sell these books. I take that very seriously because I think it's the biggest part of my job. I really do. I mean, of course, the writing of the books is very important, but without selling them, I'm not going to be able to write any more of them. So,
absolutely.
So I am very, I work very, very hard, and I love it. You know, it's a passion for me, so it doesn't feel difficult, but it also, you know, it is a lot of hard work. And I think even I had kind of this vision of, you know, being an author and you write your book and you put it out and you have a couple book signings and that's that. And that is definitely not how it has been for me, but that has sort of been one of the gifts of it all, because I get to travel around and I get to meet these amazing readers. And that has just been a whole nother level of just making this experience so great.
I want to ask you, how do you feel about reviews? Do you follow your Amazon and Goodreads reviews and other sites?
Have
you trained yourself to
really
stay away
hard.
From them?
Yeah, I've tried not to, but it's really hard. But I will say I'm much less sensitive about it. And, you know, I think there was like a Sex and the City episode where Carrie Bradshaw says this, but we always believe our worst reviews. Like, I can have 257 glowing, gorgeous 5-star reviews, and then there's this one person that didn't like my book. And I'm like, what? I'm so offended and upset, you know. But I think now I'm just a little bit more to the point that I kind of made a deal with myself at some point maybe last year, and I thought
– so funny.
Because I think what can happen is that you it starts to get in your head when you're writing your books. And so I had to start thinking about
–
I can't try to write a book that everyone's going to like. I have to write the story that's coming from my heart. And I just have to know that most of the people are probably going to like it, and some of the people probably aren't going to like it. And it doesn't matter if I wrote the most beautiful, perfect book in the entire world. There would still be people who didn't like it, you know? And so I just
You're absolutely right.
Let it go a little bit. But it still stings for sure. And actually, a couple of my author friends – really, really fun thing where they get authors together and we all read on camera like one of our worst reviews, and it's so fun and like funny, and it sort of takes some of that sting out of it, because you know you're with, I mean, Jane Green is on there like reading her bad reviews,
right.
You're like, well, if Jane Green's getting bad reviews, I'm going to be getting bad reviews too. And so it just sort of takes some of the pain out of it and makes it sort of funny. And when you hear it, like, read out loud, you just think, oh, my goodness, what a ridiculous thing to say.
don't you agree that if you had a bunch of bad reviews, that then you have to pay attention to what people are saying? But if you have one – so here's my take, and I tell everyone this. You need a 1-star review to have your 1-star cherry popped. And after that, that's just to remind you that not everyone is going to love you, and that not everyone is kind, and not everyone is going to say, it wasn't my cup of tea. It doesn't mean the book was bad. It just meant for that particular person, it was not the right book. So, mostly I interview because I don't have time to review since I'm doing so many interviews, but if I really love a book, I'm going to go and review it. Even books I love, sometimes I don't have a chance to. But I cannot imagine writing a negative review unless structurally a book is so bad and it's so poorly written, and I'm not the only one writing that. I will say, you know, this needs a really good edit, and this needs a really good, you know, editor.
Every review I've ever gotten that's been negative, I think pretty much everyone has been not really about my writing, but about a character that they didn't like. And that's just life. That's reading. You're not going to – if you like every character, then the author's probably not done a very good job. I mean, you know, you're just not going to like every character.
Got to grow a thick skin, right?
Yeah, like that's just not interesting reading. If you're going to just love every character that you read, you'd be pretty bored. So, so yes, you definitely have to grow a thick skin. And but truly, I mean, I have the best readers in the world, and it has, I've had very few bad reviews. I'm very fortunate, and
you
so
really
it's,
are.
You know, it's a
but
good.
Right,
I'm sure there are lots.
So
of people,
your
but.
Books are exceptional. We are just about out of time, so I'm going to do five quick questions and five quick answers with you really quick,
okay.
All right?
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So what book is on your nightstand right now?
You're not going to believe that I haven't read this yet, but I am reading Little Bitty Lies.
It's a great book, so you're going to love that.
Yes, it's
that's
a great
fine.
Book, but I'm reading it because I've had it on my nightstand forever, and now I'm dying to watch the show, but I don't want to watch the show until
okay, well, so I
books,
don't own a
so.
TV, so that doesn't mean anything to me. Books mean something
okay.
to me. So
okay.
Cats
okay.
or dogs?
Cats.
Thank
I
you.
I know.
I love you even more. You know from my page, I love you even more if you like cats. Okay. Book that you've read more than once.
Oh, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I read it every single year.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite book of all time.
I love that. What kind of music do you like?
I like a lot of different things. But usually when I'm working on like a really southern book, I listen to country because I kind of feel like it gets me in the southern mood.
Okay.
But,
okay, so
but I love
question 4A, who
yes.
in country?
Who in country? I love Florida Georgia Line. They have the best, most poetic lyrics. No, their lyrics are so good, don't you think? Yeah, they are poets for sure. And so I'm really drawn to that. Like, there are certain people that I listen to their lyrics and I just think, oh, they're brilliant. Like, I love Jason Mraz. He's not country, but I love his lyrics. I think they're so well written. And like Simon and Garfunkel. I think Simon and Garfunkel have like amazing lyrics. So
oh God.
The writer.
You're killing me,
you know.
Girlfriend. You're killing me. It's like so long ago in my life. You're killing me. Okay. And the last question is your Erin Hildebrand and I are going to get together and we're going to write a book about your life so far because it is still
okay.
young. What are we going to title that book so far?
Oh, gosh. I'm bad at titles. I don't know. That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that, the title. I don't know. That's a good question, but I definitely will say this. I feel like I am living my dream right now, and so I think
there you go.
The book would
living
have to be
dream.
About that. Living your dream.
Very good.
That's not very creative, but we'll go with it.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to be. It's about you. Christy Woodson Harvey, Southern women's fiction, some of the most exquisite work I've read in a long, long time. Thank you so much for being with me. Will you come back one day?
Of course. I'll come back anytime.
Well, I have a proposal for you.
Okay.
Will you
okay.
get in touch with Erin? Invite her on and be the guest host.
Ooh! Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't
we'll
that
have
be
to
fun?
Do that would be so
okay.
fun.
You and I will be in touch, and we'll figure that out. In the meantime,
okay.
thank you to Christy Woodson Harvey for an exceptionally fun show. I wish you all the success in the world, Christy. Thank you so much for being with me.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And you and I'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
And that's our show for tonight, folks. On Friday, I am so excited. You can't miss it, Joe Ide with IQ. Join me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.